in this prayer. Father God, we glorify you and we honor you on today as we present ourselves to you, seeking for your wisdom and understanding. And we just bless you in the name of our Savior, Yehoshua. We thank you for the days that we live in, for it is a time that is vital for the nation of Israel, our people, and we just look forward to the days to come, and we glorify you in the name of Yehoshua Mashiach. Again, we do pray in his name, and we just thank you. Amen. All right. There are some things that I want to get you prepared for. We discussed some things on a few weeks ago, and then there are some things that I need to inform y'all on, and just to get us ready and prepared for where we are and where we're headed as far as ministry is concerned. There are so many things, I got so much information that I want to share with y'all, but I know it's just not enough time for me to do it on tonight. And so my mindset is, as I come into an understanding of things, I want to, I'll be wanting to share that information, with y'all. But the difference is, I want to say it this way from experience. And then I'll just say it that way. I'll say it this way for experience, and then at the same time, whatever needs to be fixed by what I say, then Yah will lead me on how to better express it if it comes to that. But I grew up in a time frame. And what I mean by the time frame as far as ministry is concerned. I grew up in a time frame of ministry where you had men and women who would try to separate themselves from, for lack of a better way to put it, from the regular folk, from the congregation, and things like that. And what I'm about to say, some of you may have experienced these same things. Whereas there have been people who I grew up around, and I'll back up and say, I've had opportunity to be in the sitting with a lot of well-known, or what is classified as well-known preachers. You pretty much name a lot of them. I've been in sittings with them in one facet or another, and have had access to a lot of them that most people hadn't had the privilege of doing because of who my pastor is. And so from being, from being in these settings, it always was a mindset that we were taught, and I keep hearing because it's what I keep hearing these words because it's what I heard all the time back then. I always would hear that, you had to pay a price for this anointing, and it was like the mindset of preachers that I grew up being under or admiring and all these different things always would give the impression that they paid the price for something that we had to pay the price for in order to attain it. And I struggled with it because I did things or I imitated things that they said we needed to do or we need to imitate in order to be in the positions that they were in, only to get to the stage of where I am now to understand that God is the only one who raises up an individual and he's the only one who can bring down an individual, you know. It doesn't matter who it is. You know, we've gotten in scriptures enough to understand that even wicked men, leaders and things like that, were raised for the purpose of fulfilling God's will. And so when you look at it, or when we look at it from that standpoint, it's a humbling experience to know that the reason why I am who I am is because it's what God chose me to be, and it's nothing that I paid the price for, although there was a lot of things that I did because I thought that you had to pay the price for it, and then there are things that God led me to do, but it was just part of a preparation, you know, type of things, and so, you know, thing, and so. So when I look back on my life now, I realize that everything that I am is what Yah destined for me to be. And so from that standpoint, you would have a lot of leaders who because of that concept would hold back things from regular folks like us, you know. And so it was, you know, and I would see that a lot. It was always, you know, them for whatever reason or another, not willing to share a certain amount of information, in order to keep them in the position of superiority. And that's one of the things that I just refuse to do. Everything that I understand, I try to get it out to people as fast as I can, and as soon as I come into an understanding of it, I try to get that information out to everyone that, you know, that I love and you know, that I'm connected to in one fashion or another, you know, whether that's ministry, whether that's, you know, people in general, you know, a general audience as far as, you know, like a Facebook or something like that, some type of social media, something like that. I'm always trying to give information out. And I've had so many people, y'all, that have, you know, come to me and was like, you can't believe the amount of time somebody has come to me and said, man, you need to sit down and write books about the stuff you understand. And I'm like, you know, that's just something God is just not, you know, he's just not led me to do at this point. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, and there are a lot of variation of things that I understand, but it's like everything I understand is what God has given to me. And so, I, my perspective is freely given to me, so I just freely give it. You know, whatever I come into understanding, I just freely give it. I don't want to put in some book form to make money off of it and things like that. It's like, it's not my idea. I was sitting there being dumbfounded. Y'all was like, here, you know, so why would I go sell it, you know, kind of deal. And so, you know, so if it ever came down to that, you know, my perspective would be totally different on what to do with it as far as a book or something like that is concerned. Because it gives me so much information. So that's what I'm saying. It's just so much information that I understand. And I want to share it and want to share it now, but it's just too much. He just gives me so much understanding that it's just too much information to share in sittings, and so I just have to deal with bits and pieces of it at a time, you know, when I can get to some things. So there are some things you revealed to me this week just to confirm what we understand, and it's like everything is just coming together. Yeah, I can't. You know, I just can't express enough everything is just coming together. Everything is just making sense. It is coming together, and the scriptures are linking up, and it's like every time I read something, I'm like, okay, that's why this says this here and there and there and there and stuff like that. And it's like the Bible is just so clear now. But it would not have been that way if we had not gone through the process that we had to go through to get to this point. You know, it started out, you know, back in 2000 with Yah dealing with me in Atlanta when I was down at a meeting with my pastor. And so it started there in 2000, and, you know, he just told me to start studying the Bible. But, he said read it, but he said study it. Just start in Genesis to Revelation. And when you finish, start all over. And I've been doing it ever since. And so the first time I did it, it took me 12 years to study from Genesis to Revelation. And once I finished, I started all over again. Well, in the midst of that 12 years from 2000 to 2012, in the midst of that 12 years, that's when the Origin of the Great Nation popped up. And it was 2011, I believe. It was like once we got to the level of understanding how the scriptures link together, Yah was like, here, now you're ready to understand who you are as a nation of people. And from that, it's like things have been just coming and coming and coming from, you know, since 2000, things have been coming. So the past, 16 years, it's like information has just been coming and coming and coming and understanding and stuff. And so there's a lot of things that I want to share with you. So we're gonna start out in Habakkuk chapter one. I want to really get to chapter two. So I'm not gonna spend a whole lot of things in. I'm not gonna spend a whole lot of time in chapter one because chapter two is kind of where we want to focus on tonight, and then, you know, we'll just see how far we're able to go as far as the lesson is concerned. But again, Habakkuk chapter 1, it says the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Oh Jehovah, how long shall I cry and thou would not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why doest thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack. Can somebody say that? Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doeth never go forth. For, and this is why he said it, because when you see a colon there, it lets you know why he's saying that. Therefore, verse 4, therefore the law is slack, and judgment doeth not go forth. For the wicked doeth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. And so he's saying, from the perspective of him understanding the law, that the law being just and causes righteous judgment, you know, he's saying it's flat from the standpoint because the wicked, you know, in his day would seem to be the one who was always benefiting for their lives, and it was always, you know, wrong judgment was the thing that always preceded it. And I mean, even just reading this, Brent is he's in conference call, and he's and I just want to share, y'all know how we had been in prayer for him and what he was going through behind that false accusation of him and the thing that he had to go through for, I said we had to go through because, you know, we wrestled with him and we communicated on a, you know, daily basis about certain things from one fast to another. I think it's almost 2 years, I believe. I can't remember now. It seems like it was so long ago. But one thing that he sent me, and he sent me that the attorney that that represented him, and you know, and did a pretty good job that represented him, sent him for information and was and show you the mindset, and that's what verse 4 is reminding me of. And he, this attorney is saying this, he said, I found out everyone had questioned it was a prosecuting attorney. Everyone had questioned him about pursuing a case against Brent. You know, everybody was like, okay, this guy hasn't, you know, he is not guilty behind this here. So he was being questioned by a lot of people about, you know, about the, you know, the particular case and the trial that was coming up. So he's being questioned about pursuing the case against Brent. And so, you know, and from a perspective of, you know, this guy was trying to send Brent to prison. Then he said the guy, he also found out that he had plans to get a big conviction. To get a big conviction on Brent so that he could run for the DA. So his whole motivation, and I knew it was a political for personal gain, his whole reason for trying to use that and took it way farther than what it should have been was all about trying to promote himself. Trying to get, you know, trying to get in a certain position where he could make more money and different things like that. And so when I read verse 4, it just reminded me of that, where you know, you see how wrong went forth, but yet Yah showed up and made him look like the fool that he was. That attorney made him look like the fool that he was, and, you know, and Yah got all the glory out of it. But it just show you how even about it's talking about the same thing where he said, you know, wrong judgment, you know, proceeded. People always doing things wrong and doing things in an unjust way for whatever reason or another. Verse 5, he says, Behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raised up the child in, we know this is talking about Babylon, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are also are swifter than leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall suck up as the east wind, and they shall go gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. And it's amazing how even as far as this country is concerned, the arrogance of all mankind that comes into some type of power and don't recognize nor understand Yah, they attribute their ability or their success on their God or their own ability. You know, the reason why I'm this is because I did this, and you know, I worked hard, and I did all these different things, and so, and so you see them, you see this verse is just pointing out that, you know, that verse 11, you know, the mindset was, you know, every power that they had given it unto their God without realizing that it was Yah who was using them just to bring about His will. Verse 12 said, art thou not from everlasting, O Yah, my God? O Jehovah, my Yah. One and the same, my holy one. We shall not die, O Jehovah. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. See, when you see verse 12, he understands it. Habakkuk understands that they have been ordained for judgment. And that's the issue that people have a hard time understanding, is that whatever happens to us in life, y'all ordain certain things from a perspective of judgment, whether it be good or bad. But and so he's recognized that although this nation, the Chaldeans, which is really Babylon, when you look at their mindset, they were giving all the credit, all their power to their God, but at the same time, he's saying they don't realize they were ordained for the judgment. Even when you look at things that's going on as far as this country's concerned, and the chaos that's even coming about as far as the election is concerned, I think this has been this is going to be one of the election where you, where, I mean, this is the first one, I've been here for a minute, but this is the first time I can recall that people are actually looking at both candidates and saying, man, I don't even want to fool with it, kind of deal. And, but we have to understand that our country should understand that if this is the state of leaders that it is, this is the highest level of leaders that qualify for off the president, then it shows the state of this country. It is a reflection of the state of this country. And so that should be the sobering thing, but again people are caught up in their pride and they don't realize that these two candidates really represent in a very big way the state of this country, how far or how bad of a shape this country is to have to basically settle for these two. And it's so bad that you even have the old parties don't want to support their own, you have the Democratic Party don't want to support their candidate, and you have the Republican Party don't want to support theirs. It's the first time I ever recall in history where you have two parties just saying, man, this is the best we got. It is a reflection of what Yah has ordained to show the state of this of the chaos of this country. That's what we're looking at. And so when we look at it from that perspective, verse 12, and that's why I really like the verse, it says, art thou not from everlasting, O Yah my God, O Jehovah my Yah, mine holy one, we shall not die. O Jehovah, thou hast ordained them for judgment. He was like, this nation's not going to take us out because they have been ordained for this judgment. We've been a nation that has left the law, the statutes, and judgment of the Most High Yah, and they're ordained, but they're not ordained to take us out as a whole. They're just ordained to deal with this, even though they're giving the credit to all their gods, and it's just, it's just awesome to, from my perspective, just to read that and to know that Yah is in total control. He has ordained things to be, and it puts me in the position where everything that happens to me in life, whether good or bad, I know that Yah is in total control of everything, and he has ordained things to take place, and I even look at it, as far as my personal life and things like that, concerned. Sometimes things will happen, or sometimes, things will be said, and you don't understand why, and different things like that. But when you look at everything as far as the big picture is concerned, you realize that here it is, and here we are, and things like that. God ordained things to be, He's ordained things to be a certain way to bring about a certain purpose. Everything about Yah has purpose to it. And there are times we may say or do things we may not understand why we say or do them, but at the same time, we have to realize that Yah is always orchestrating things, and He's bringing about His will to pass. And so you each one of you have to understand that whatever happens to you in life, Yah ordained things. He's ordained purposes, and He's positioned each one of us to have these experiences for whatever reason or another to bring about His will. Something is always everything is always associated with the will of God in our lives. We have to realize that. You have to realize that you were born and you're loved by Yah. And because of that, He's orchestrated everything in your life. It may be weird or it may not be, but bottom line, when it's all said and done, we need to look up and be able to see, okay, Yah is doing something I didn't quite understand, but here I am. And to weather it and to go through it and to do what's necessary in order to bring about His will. So, and that's what I like about verse 12. It says again, it says, "Are not thou from everlasting, O Yah, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, for Jehovah, thou hast ordained, O Jehovah, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And Almighty Yah, thou hast established them for correction." Everything that happens to us in life, you know, there's a concept that I say all the time and I encourage you to adopt it, that everything that happens to us in life is always for our benefit. He's doing some things, and so He ordained things and he established things for our correction. For there's something that's going on that causes Him to manifest these things. So when you look at the word, you know, correction, you know, it means to chasten, or it means to plead or to reason with us in one fashion or another, to convict in one fashion or another. So all these things come about in order to deal with us in one fashion or another. Verse 13 says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." He's talking about, yeah. "Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he." So I'm gonna use all this right here, and I'm gonna talk to all of them. I'm gonna specifically speak to the Brent, because I believe that's the reason why God had that guy to send him, his attorney, his former attorney, to send him the information so that he could send it to me. And I had no idea up until the time I started reading this that I was even going to talk about it. Everything has purpose. You see what I'm saying? He's sent a text not knowing why he's being led to send this text. Or let me back up even further back. He gets a text. Of all days, he gets a text. All time frame, you know, of all days he gets a text, or of all days he sends me the text. Well, Yah is orchestrating things. He's bringing about purpose. To even speak to him and say, okay, I'll ordain things to take place for whatever reason or another to bring about an established correction in your life in one fashion or another. Now, I'm not being judgmental or whatever. You know, Brent shared a lot of things with me, but at the same time, I'm just speaking to his heart to let him know that everything he went through, Yah ordained it. If it was nothing but to bring about judgment on this man that I mentioned, who had selfish ambitions for whatever reason or another to prosper at the expense of trying to ruin a man and his family's life, and cause issues with everybody that was connected to him, you know, because I mean, it caused issues with me, you know. So, you know, Brent handled all the stuff down there in at the center and stuff for me, and so there was a lot of things that he couldn't do and stuff like that. And so all that was established to bring about Yah's will. We have to put our trust in Yah that he did it. And I like what the pastor said, you know, Abaka was like, oh, we shall not die. Well, it didn't destroy Brent. Actually, it opened some doors for him. Y'all hear some of the things that he can tell you from that incident. One particular thing that I don't think we, or at least may not remember, there was a lady who almost burned up, in her vehicle, and Brent was responsible for getting her out of there. You know, long story short, she ended up dying later, but her whole family is still thankful and connected to Brent as a result of it, because they got to spend time with her before she, you know, she died from an injury, but she didn't die from being burned up in the car. You know, and Brent tore his knee all up again and all that, jumping ditches and throwing water and scooping water and doing everything he could do. But yet that should have stayed, and pretty much every highway patrolman he run into now and pull him over in his truck for whatever reason or another, they all ain't do that, guy. Y'all ordained things to bring about his will. Now you have officers and things like that speaking up on his behalf, even about the incident. Once y'all deliver him out of it, they're backing him and saying, hey, this guy ain't nowhere like what they said. This is who this guy is. And they have to go around and testify like this is why they were doing. This is who this guy is. And then, you know, and so, you know, y'all ordained that thing to bring about this, to raise him up and to give him a reputation, where the man was trying to tear him down, trying to destroy his reputation, trying to make him out to be a monster, and y'all just took it and put it right on the platform and gave him favor with even more men, including the judges and all that who was sitting in on the case. All of them have talked to him since then. It was saying, we know you wasn't that type of person and all that. Just one guy trying to promote his career. But yet, y'all used all that. To establish the beast, though, to bring about correction. Well, that correction, whether that was bread or this guy that's going to be dealt with behind it. I know the guy's going to be dealt with. He can't sow that and not reap it. He can't sow that seed and not reap the harvest from it. When it's said and done, because, you know, he don't realize who he's messing with, when it's said and done, he's going to hate the day that he did it. And he's going to remember why it happened to him. You know, I told Brent, I said, we'll see it. You know, and so, you know, these things, you know, just reminded me that, and that's why I want to specifically speak to him on that, to encourage him. But at the same time, you as a hearer can hear that and be encouraged likewise and understand that, okay, man, everything I'm going through, everything I'm dealing with, y'all got me, man. He is orchestrating things, and he's allowing these things to come to pass. He's doing something wonderful with me. You know, it may be tough on me when I'm going through it. You know, it was, you know, I think it was just as tough on me to see Brent go through it as it was him, man. You know, because of, you know, how I feel about it, man. It was just tough to see him go through that. And, you know, I know I can never relate to how he actually felt, but I just feel that way. I feel like it was just as tough on me to see him go through it, you know. And so verse 13 says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he. That's what this guy was trying to do. You're running to people for whatever reason or other that will try to destroy you, and they're more wicked than you, or you're righteous and they're more wicked, you know, or they're wicked. I just said it that way. Or the individual that they're attacking is more righteous than the wicked. Verse 14 said, "Maketh men as the fishes of the sea, and as the creeping things that have no ruler over them." Verse 15, then we get into other chapters. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net. He's talking about the fish now. And gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Talking about how the wicked basically do the righteous. And it's from a perspective of how fish are caught in the sea. You know, they throw out the net and just drag them in, and they rejoice, you know, for their accomplishment. You know, they just use the righteous like there's some fish that's being caught out in the sea. Therefore, their sacrifice, therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag. because by them their portion is fat and their meat is plenty. It's basically giving credit to the net, you know, from the perspective of, I know I said from the perspective of treating the righteous like gathering fish, so I'm just using it as example to really bring about in dealing with the text, whereas even when they catch fish, because of their wicked, their wickedness, they're giving credit to the net. And don't realize Yah is the source that controls the fish. The net is just out there. That's why Savior told the disciples, he's okay, throw the net over. And they was like, we've been fishing all night. We hadn't caught nothing. Okay, but this you said, we'll throw it out one more time. So they threw it out there and almost break the net. Because Yah is in control of the fish. You know, and the way you hear most people describe it, it was like the reason why they fished at night is because the water was too clear during the daytime and the fish could actually see the net. And so that in itself showed how awesome that event was, because it was a net out in the sea that was more or less on the clear side, so the fish could actually see the net. Still filled it up so bad to the point where the net was breaking. But you have men who will experience success, and again give all the credit to the net. Okay, that's their portion. That's what verse 16 says. Shall they? Verse 17. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continue to slay nations? See, they're giving that credit to their net, and then they have no moral. Moral value, because you know they don't realize that Yah is the one who's given them the ability to accomplish what they've accomplished, so they have no source to really worship. So they give the credit all to the success of the net, instead of coming from a perspective of humility, like I had mentioned earlier, from a perspective of humility and understand that okay, all my successes it belongs to Yah. Everything that I am, it belongs to Yah. You got people that are blaming all their success on the net. Okay? Yah raises up and he brings down. Okay? Now, we go on the next chapter, and that's where I really want to be. Now, from all of this, Habakkuk has, you know, he starts out and he's questioning Yah about the wickedness of men from the perspective of righteousness. He's like, okay, how long, Yah? You with your eyes that's pure, you don't even behold iniquity. How long are you going to allow this stuff to go on? Okay, how long are you going to allow this to happen? And from him now making his petition, chapter 2 starts out from the perspective of how he's thinking after he made his petition. So chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I will stand up on my watch and set me up on the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. See, he knows he's going to get dealt with. So he's saying, okay, I jumped out there, I said all this, now I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch it, I'm going to see how y'all going to deal with me about what I just said. You know? And I have to admit, there are times when I'll jump out there and I'll say certain things, and then I'll be like, okay, y'all, I'm going to stand here and see how you're going to reprove me. That's you know, that's relationship. One of the things that I do, y'all, is I go to Yah just like I am. I go, you know. So what you see with me is what you get. I go to him just as raw, and I say it. If I feel like complaining, I'll complain. I don't go to him from this perspective of religion, whereas I'm mad, but I try to pretend to him that I'm not. When I'm mad, I go to him and I'm mad. You know, I'm mad, I'm frustrated, I don't like this right now. But once I lay it all out, I know there's nothing wrong with him. So when I go out and I lay out all my issues, I'll be like, okay, I'm mad, I'm frustrated. You know, I don't like this right now, and I don't like what's going on, and I'm just mad, and you know, shoot. when you gonna do something about this? And 'cause I know ain't nothing wrong with him. Something going on with me. And just like Habakkuk is saying here, he said, okay, I lay all my complaints out to y'all. And I'm saying, okay, here you are, Almighty God, and I know you controlled everything, so why you letting this happen? But I know there's a reason behind it, because I admit that things are ordained and things are established, even the heathens are established to bring about his will. And so after I've done all my talking, I'm going to stand back and see how he's going to rebuke me. That's what reproved me. And so verse 1 again, he said, I will stand up on my watch. I will stand up on my watch and set me up on the tower and will watch to see what he shall say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I know. I'm trying to figure out, because I know I'm finna get reproved. And so I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say once I start getting, you know, once he starts dealing with me. That's what he's saying here. Okay, what I will answer when I am reproved, okay, because I know I'm going to get corrected. Because Yah is in control, he's almighty. And remember, everything has purpose. Everything has purpose. So, you know, so if you don't understand certain things about Yah, then take a Habakkuk example, and also take what I also shared with you about myself. Go to Yah just like you are. If you're frustrated, don't go there and say, ain't nothing wrong with me. I go to him and say, I'm real crazy right now. You better deal with me. Okay? So when you look at all those things from that perspective, he's saying again, he said, you know, when I'm reproved, when I'm corrected. Verse 2 said, Jehovah answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that they may run that readeth it. They write the vision, make it plain upon tables that they may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, when you look at these things, he's answering Habakkuk in reference to what he had asked him in chapter 1. So first of all, you have to understand that there are some things that I'm going to share with you, verse 3, verse 2, and Jehovah said, Jehovah answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run and read it for the vision, yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, it may take a while for some things to take place, but y'all is like, what I'm about to share with you, Habakkuk, is going to take place. It may not happen overnight, but you have to understand that surely it's going to come to pass. And you're to be so sure about it, I'm encouraging you to write it down. Make it plain. When you know, I'll put it to you this way. When Yah has said something to you, when he's spoken some things to you, you have to be so encouraged to know that it's exactly what he said, to the point to where you should be willing to write it down so that men can run with it that read it. You know when I did a while back, and it still hadn't happened yet, and I am not concerned. Yah told me one morning I got up, he said, tell everybody, put it on Facebook. I'm like, oh Lord, put it on Facebook. Tell everybody, send out emails, tell everybody that you can, that's going to come a day when there's going to be a black spot on the moon and ain't nobody going to be able to identify what it is. Okay. What y'all was saying, it's going to happen in my appointed time, But you have to be so encouraged and so and have so much confidence in me to the point that when you write the business down and let everybody run with it that reads it. Because it's going to happen exactly the way I said it's going to happen. So I said all that to say this. You, each one of us, has to be so confident. That's why it says this. I'm going to read it again now. Verse 4 said, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. A person who operates in pride, and when you look at it in reference to what he's talking about in chapter 1, he's chastening, use that as an example of the wickedness associated with him. In his soul, like that, to operate in wickedness, that is because their mental disposition is prideful. They're lifted up. But then he turned around and said, but the just shall live by his faith. See, it takes faith to, well, what is faith? Now, y'all remember when we talked about faith, what is it? Y'all remember? Yeah, it trusted in y'all. Trusting y'all, give me more. That's a good definition, but give me even more detail, guys, family, since she laid out the definition, which is correct. Faith is trusting in y'all. So how do you do that? What are things that we could talk about that could make all of us understand that is what trusting y'all is? What are some things that could be added to that? You know, when they used to ask me back in the day, you know, and I heard all other preachers say it, they would always quote Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is something they hope for, evidence not seen, not seen. I used to be like, okay, yeah, what is that? So faith is trusting y'all. What is that? How can we be able to point out and to give a person an understanding that they're trusting in y'all? What are some things that we can add to that? She's correct. Faith is trusting y'all. But what can we add to that?
Going by our senses.
So say it again.
Not going by our senses.
Yeah. Not operating according to our senses. Can you explain some things in more detail than that? What is it to not go by your senses?
Just regardless of the situation, just continue to trust y'all, like regardless
of what you see.
Regardless of what we see or, you know, hear, you know, by senses, we just continue to trust y'all.
True. So faith is trusting in y'all. So when I trust in y'all, I don't go by what I see. I can't go by what I heard. I may have heard some stuff that didn't line up with what I'm trusting y'all for. Yeah, which they call doubt. But because my trust is in y'all, that's not the determining factor to settle the issue about what I know he said. I know what he said. I know what he ordained, so I don't care what it looked like. I don't care what I heard. I don't care what's going on with my senses. It doesn't matter. My trust is still in y'all. My trust is so much in y'all that I'm willing to write it down. I'm willing to write down that there's going to be a spot on the moon and not go by my senses. I don't see no spot on the moon. Then what everybody going to say about me saying there's going to be a spot on the moon? I just stuck myself out there where everybody can be able to look at me and judge and determine if I'm a righteous prophet of Yah or if I'm some old wicked false prophet that's going around. I just stuck myself out there. Well, and me putting that on Facebook and sending it out all over the world had nothing to do with my own ability. It was my trust in Yah. See, pride is lifted up, but the just or the upright, the just shall live by trusting in y'all. Once y'all said it and told me to write it down, I had no trust in my own ability. From that point on, I wrote the vision down. I'm like, it could be 200 years from now. It's going to happen. I don't even have to see it happen to know it's going to happen. There were things that the prophets of Israel prophesied, and it's yet to happen. over 2,000 years, and it still hasn't happened yet. It still don't happen. They didn't see it in their lifetime. That's what we have to understand about how Yah operates. He said, when I ordained it, you can write it down. It ain't going to change. It's going to be exactly the way I said it. Regardless of what you see, what you hear, regardless of the senses, what you're able to touch, taste, smell, regardless of the senses, Yah is saying, what I ordain is going to be exactly the way I ordain it, and you can write it down. You can put it out there for everyone to read it and comprehend it. It's going to come to pass. That's what he's telling about. With that in mind, what has Yah specifically said to you, and you know it was Yah? You should be bold enough to write it down on the biggest building downtown Dallas. Oh, some stuff Yah has spoken to me. If I had the opportunity to put it up on display anywhere, I would write it down and make it plain. Everything he speaks to me, I'm willing to write it down and make it plain up on table so that men can comprehend it, because I know what he said. That's why I'm writing all the time. Writing a vision. Make it plain. He showed me something. I write it down and make it plain. Everything he showed me, that's what I said earlier, I can't wait to get out information that y'all showing me, because I put my trust in him, and when he showed me, I'm willing to put a pen through it. I'm speaking on the house top. And when he's speaking to me, I don't need nobody to agree. I'm willing to look like a fool or a sore thumb sticking out there by myself. Now, I know I don't have to, too. You know, y'all support the things that I teach on, and you teach the things that I teach on, and you even add two things that I teach on. So that's an encouragement in itself to have, you know, to have a family that's willing to follow me and to comprehend it. That, you know, family, we look at this, it's right. You know, we're seeing this. We have the spirit of God to discern between good and evil. We see this making sense. This is the truth. And so I'm encouraged from that perspective, but then at the same time I have to say it, I don't need nobody to believe me when God speaks to me. I want to look like a fool all by myself, because my trust is in Yah, and it doesn't matter what I hear, what I see, what I touch, taste, smell, whatever. It doesn't matter what my senses say, I know what he says. And I have written it down, and I'm going to write it down and make it plain, no matter how crazy I get about it, frustrated I get about it, whatever, it still comes to the bottom line. He said it, it's going to be exactly the way he said it. So this is what he's saying to Habakkuk now. He says, now, okay, you write it down, verse 2. And Jehovah answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain up on tables that they may run it, read it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak. It's going to happen. Everything God said about you is going to happen exactly the way he said it. And you have to be confident to know that he said it. And you have to be bold enough to be willing to write it down and let everybody read it and comprehend it. Everything he said to me, I can't say it enough. Everything he has said to me, I'm willing to write it down. I'm willing to let everybody see it. Because I know what he said. Okay? For the vision, yet for the point of time, it may take a while. That's not my concern. The time frame of the black spot being on the moon is not my concern. My concern is to write it down and trust in Yah who spoke it to me. I'm not concerned about how he's going to do it. I'm just going to roll with what he said. But this is yet for an appointed time, verse 3, but at the end it shall speak. It shall speak. It's puach. It shall utter. It shall speak. It's going to manifest. Okay, it's going to come forth. It shall speak and not lie. Nope, it's not a lie. You're not lying. You have to be confident enough in Yah. You have to put your trust in Yah to know that what he said to you is not a lie. It may take a minute, but it's not a lie. You hear me? It's not a lie. When he's speaking to you, it is not a lie. I don't care what it is. If he's speaking to me, if he's speaking to me and said, you know, it can be something wild. If he's speaking to me, I'll write it down. I'll tell the whole world. Or once he showed me that earth was flat, I'll write it down. I don't care. I put it out there, some folks was like, ooh, boy, he gone now. Oh, but I'm starting to make more and more sense the more I write about it, so they start to get quiet. At first, they were like, ooh, he went out there and went crazy now. Some of the folks on Facebook were like, ooh, I don't know what to do with that. Oh, but each time I put something out there, they were like, wait a minute. That nut's starting to look like just a nut now. He was a crazy nut, but now he's starting to look like just a nut. Have trust in Yah enough to be willing to write it down and make it plain on paper. If he said it to you, you have to be convincing enough to make somebody else believe what he said. That shows your faith, your trust in Yah. That is my secret, so to speak. I can be very convincing. You know, I'm assertive. I can be very convincing because what he says to me, I believe in enough to convince you. Did y'all hear what I just said? What he said to me, I believe it enough to convince you. What he said to you, he may have said it, but each one of us has to get to the point to where what he said to us, we believe it enough to convince somebody else. Yeah, that building was looking crazy at one time. But I believe what y'all said. I believed it when we was pumping water waist deep. when it didn't look like it was nowhere close to where it is at this point. Now when it was looking crazy and I was like, man, I'm just tired of dealing with this thing. I was being like a baka. Man, I'm tired of dealing with this thing. Man, I just want to take and give the keys to somebody. I don't even want to step. I want to give somebody the keys. Then I stand back and say, okay, I'm going to see what y'all going to correct me on. And he would say, continue the course, boy. Say about your feelings. You know, I know y'all tired of going up there pumping that water, and every time it rains, y'all like it. Y'all got to the point where y'all hated rain. That's why it be dropping the last 3 years. But y'all hate the rain that I was blessing to go down the earth because there's more water in the building. But y'all keep the course. Keep the course. That's the end. It's going to speak. You've written it down. You made it plain. You've gone around and told people. You've been convincing. You were convincing enough to get them to give it to you. Stick with the course. Even when it don't feel good, stick with the course. Even when it's disappointing, stick with the course. Even when it's looking crazy, stick with the course. Even when everybody's laughing, saying that you're a fool, stick with the course. Because at the end, it's going to speak. Not lie. What you believe is not a lie. What you believe is the truth. What I have showed you is the truth. It is not a lie, but you got to wait for it. You got to tarry for it. It may not happen overnight. And I have to admit, there are a lot of things God showed me I wanted yesterday. In fact, the first time he showed me, now I understand the vision completely. I saw the ministry, and it was people, as far as I could see. Well, I didn't know that he was giving us responsibility over the nation. I'm just saying we had the responsibility over the church. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm seeing all these people everywhere and in different cities. I'm like, every time I look around, it's in a different city. I'm like, man, where is the church? It always looks different. I was like, boy, I'm doing some way bigger than you down a building. Okay, let me hurry up and finish up now. For verse 3, for the vision, yet for an appointed time, it may take some time. Okay, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Though it take a while, though it tarry. Okay, though it delay. Wait. Wait for it. And when it's waiting, you wait. I like that one. If it's waiting, then you spoke wait. Whatever Yah has said to each one of us, it's taking a while for it to come to pass, then you have to be willing to wait as long as it takes. I got old cliche that I use. I'm willing to stand forever on what Yah said to me. I will stand there 100 years if he delayed that long. Okay, wait for it. Why? Because it will surely, ain't no doubt about it, it will surely come. It will not tarry. It's not going to delay. You know, I got an old saying, if you're willing to wait forever, then you won't be waiting long. Because 40 years ain't forever. 40 years is a short time in comparison to forever. So if you're willing to wait forever, you won't be waiting long. It's going to happen. But we have to know that it's Yah, and what we know Yah has said, we got to stand on it regardless. Now I walk through that building now with a little pepper in my step, because I'm like, boy, this thing is coming on here. It's completely gutted out now. The guys are finished. All they got to do is go back to the fence and wax the floors and stuff like that. And so I'm looking, I'm like, boy, I'm seeing something. Boy, this Terry is coming on the pass now. This waiting for this thing is paying off. Now the people who have left here that said, wait a minute, what? Y'all mean to tell me y'all completely cleaned it up? Yeah, it's completely cleaned up. Well, why didn't get the news that it was completely cleaned up? You didn't wait for it. You didn't wait for the news. So you getting it on the backside. Alright. Surely it will come to pass. That's what this verse means when it says write the vision down and make the plan up on tape so they may run and read. Yeah, it can imply a vision as far as ministry is concerned. But when you look at the big picture of this thing, it gives us the understanding that whatever Yah says to us, we should be so confident in it that we're willing to put it in writing. I put anything in writing that Yah said. Because I know it's going to be exactly the way that he said. Regardless how I feel, how I see it, how I think about it, regardless of, like Mighty said, regardless of what's going on as far as the senses, I still trust in Yah. And until we understand that, Yah will continue to bring the same issues around so that we can understand that, you know what, it don't matter how I feel. This thing, Yah has ordained it, and it is going to come to pass. He's going to keep dealing with my senses until I realize that it's going to come to pass exactly the way that he said. So Yah will keep creating events until we pass the test. All right? Any questions or comments? Not, I'm through. I'm going to stop at you. All right. Anything? You good? Okay. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today, and we thank you for another facet of understanding. We just ask you to just continue to lead and guide us in all truth. And we bless you in the name of Yehoshua, Mashiach, we do pray. Amen. Y'all remember, worship God in spirit and in truth. It is message.